Recently, I was a little bit disappointed. I think the last two or three times that I found myself in a hotel in different places, and what I usually used to do would go straight to the drawer to find the Bible. Not that I was going to read the Gideon Bible, but it was always an interesting thing to me to see that here we have Bibles printed in the trillions probably over the years, and wherever you go, you would find this Bible. It was a Christian Bible, but it was always printed with what they call the Old Testament, which is our Tanakh, and the New Testament, which is their editions. And only recently did I notice in a couple of hotels that they didn't have the Bible. One hotel, I think, because we were doing a religious affair there, maybe they took them out of the rooms, I don't know. But it was a very interesting thing to me, because for years, and for centuries, wherever you found Christian people, and to that extent, to some extent, really, even the Muslim people, the Bible was part of their literature, was part of their tradition, not just their version, but the actual original translation, which was made into Greek, maybe some 2,400 years ago, and they print that book together with their religious doctrines in the, I guess, maybe in the trillions over the years. And the question always bothered me, why? Why is it that the Christian world finds it so necessary, so imperative, so important to record the events of our history? And specifically, the parsha that we're going to read on Shabbos, Parshas Yisroi, which is Maamar Har Sinai, the giving of the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, the speaking of the Creator to the entire Klal Yisrael, to an entire nation at Har Sinai. Why in the world do they have to record such a historic event? Number one. Number two, what always fascinated me was, why didn't they ever make such a claim? If you read, and I haven't, but I know people who have, if you read through all of the writings of Christianity, Islam, and in fact other religions, you don't find any religion that ever makes the claim of the Creator revealing himself to them publicly in front of an entire nation, in front of millions of eyewitnesses, and speaking directly to them and communicating what he expects and what he wants and what the purpose of their existence is and all of that information. They all had the Bible. They should have copied that claim as they copy so many other things. So much is copied. You know why, by the way? There's Palm, ever know about Palm Sunday? You know what that is? You know, you see, they come out of church holding a piece of, a part of a palm branch. You know, where does that come from? Lululav. Why do they do it on Sunday? What? You say the lulav on Monday too, so that doesn't answer that question. Okay. So why? Why? Because the Torah says, "Ulakachtem lochem." Oh, come on. Bayom Harishon. But Chazal taught us that Yom Harishon means the first day of Sukkot. But the literal translation that they got from the Greek was the first day. First day must be Sunday. But they copied so many things. Why didn't anyone ever copy the following claim? That God appeared to us, the entire nation, and revealed himself and said, hey, those Jews, Sinai, Torah, forget about it. We got some new stuff coming, hot off the press right now. and this is what we expect from you, or this is what we don't expect from you, or we don't have to expect anything from you. Why didn't anyone ever copy that claim? Interesting. Now I have another question too. What do they say instead? You know what they say instead? They say, God appeared to an individual privately. Privately. Most religions that have a God scenario of a revelation, it's a private revelation to one individual. And that bothers me for another reason. Because in the Gideon Bible that I read, which I don't, but I just look at it just to make sure that they're still promoting the same thing. So it says that when Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, go tell Klal Yisrael that I appeared to you and that I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu said? We read it a few weeks ago.
They won't believe me.
They won't believe me. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught them that a private revelation is not credible. If somebody says, God appeared to me, you tell them to go see a doctor or a psychiatrist or go to a Bet Meshugaim, to a mental hospital. God appeared to me. Private revelation. No, nobody could believe that. How do private? You can say whatever you want. You make up any story you want. The only thing that's credible is the claim of public revelation. Why didn't they copy that claim? And then it gets worse. Because there are a few religions that do make such a claim. About five of them altogether, including Judaism. And do you know what they all say? There was a public revelation to the Jews at Sinai. That's all. And I think the answer is twofold. Number one, the answer why they didn't copy that claim is very simple. You can't get away with that claim unless it really happened. You can't make it up. I can make up a story that I had a private revelation. And you'll either believe me or not. But I will have a very hard time, and as your numbers increase, a harder and harder time to convince all of you that you saw miraculous events that you did not see. Because you know you didn't see it, and if you're getting a little nervous, maybe you missed it, maybe this, maybe that, yeah, did you see it, 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 did you see it? This is ridiculous. This guy is out of his mind. It didn't happen. You can't tell people that they witnessed events that they didn't see. And our Torah does just that. Did anybody ever notice that the Aseres HaDibrois are really the information of a sandwich? The part of a sandwich. Yeah, the sandwich. No, this Shabbos we're going to read the sandwich.
What does that mean?
That's a good question. I'll tell you what it means. The Aseres HaDibrois are sandwiched in between two statements which are very, very telling. The first statement that it's sandwiched in is, Atem ra'isem asher asisi b'mitzrayim. You saw what I did in Mitzrayim. The second part, that's the top of the sandwich. The bottom of the sandwich, or maybe the other way around, I'm not sure, is Atem Re'isim. This after the Aseres HaDibrois, it says Atem Re'isim Kimin Hashomayim Dibarti Imochem. So before the Aseres HaDibrois, the Torah says, you saw the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim. After the Aseres HaDibrois, it says, you saw that I spoke to you Min Hashomayim. That's what I call the sandwich. What's the significance of the Aseres HaDibrois sandwich? You know what the significance is? The significance is as follows. If this book, different from all the books in the world, made a claim of public miracles in Mitzrayim and public revelation, okay, the book still could be questioned. And that question would be, you say that these things happened, but you don't know. You claim, I believe. My father told me, I heard about it. No, that's not so good. But I heard about it. I think, I know. It's everybody's talking. Yeah, there must have been such a thing. But if this book says, I witnessed these events, we witnessed these events, and this book is passed on to the next generation, then you know what this book becomes? There's one word for it.
Fact.
What?
Fact.
fact, that's a good word, but I'm looking for another word. There's always more than one word. Don't let anyone fool you that there's only one word for anything. It becomes eyewitness testimony. A testimony means, a story means, I believe something happened and I tell you the story. You can either believe it or not. A testimony means, I am a witness. I saw these events and I passed them on. Now, the Torah is just that. Because this sandwich, in which the Aseres HaDibros is sandwiched in, that says, Atem Re'isem, you saw that Hashem did all the miracles in Mitzrayim. Now, if this book says, I saw, and I pass it on to my children, then if my children trust me that I wouldn't lie to them, then it is testimony. They know that it happened. Let's say, for example, I tell you, like, let's do a little exercise, yeah? Let's assume you're my son, okay? It could be worse, so don't worry. Anyway, okay? So you're my son, and you know I wouldn't lie to you, okay? Now, I tell you, son, an amazing miracle took place today. What do you know?
That you had an amazing miracle.
No. Amazing miracle. Said an amazing miracle took place today. What do you know?
He knows an amazing
miracle. No.
That you never lie.
No, I never lie, and I said an amazing miracle took place today.
I missed it.
What?
I missed it.
What do you mean you missed it?
I didn't witness the miracle.
No, that's true. But what do you know? What do you know now about that miracle?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Why nothing?
So you didn't tell me about. You said amazing miracle.
So what? No, I don't. You don't have to know why. I make it up. Amazing miracle. Come on. What do you know about the amazing miracle?
It's true.
No. You only know one thing. That no, you don't even know that I know about. Well, maybe. You know that I believe that it happened. Because I tell you an amazing miracle happened, I would never lie to you. Okay? What if I tell you I witnessed this amazing miracle and I wouldn't lie to you? Then what do you know? Then you know that the amazing miracle took place. If I just say something happened, then I believe it happened. But if I say I witnessed this document, this sandwich, in which the Aseres HaDibros is sandwiched in between, Atem Re'isem, you saw what happened in Mitzrayim, the miracles. You saw that I spoke to you, Min HaShamayim. And therefore, when I take this book, or when Klal Yisrael takes this book, that testifies that they witnessed these events, and they pass it on to their children, that generation now knows that these events took place because they have eyewitness testimony. Now, maybe you'll think there is a perverted father someplace in the world who would have the audacity to lie to his son. Could you imagine millions of Jewish people all agreeing to lie to their children, and even worse than that, to tell the same lie? It's mind-boggling. It's beyond any reasonable doubt that people could all get together and make up such a lie and all agree we're all going to say the same lie. And I would dare say something else. One of the reasons that the religions of the world promote this Maimon Har Sinai is because it is a historical fact. But they have another reason just as well. You see, many of the religions, and those are the ones that promote this, they want to claim that there was a revelation of God to a human being. A private revelation, which we know Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hein lo yaminu li. It's not credible, right? Because private revelation can make up whatever you want. However, they need this claim, you know why? Because if they don't have this claim, then their private revelation will be even more absurd. You know why? Who in the world is going to believe that God talks to man? God doesn't talk to man. Ah, he did once before, in front of millions of witnesses. Everybody knows that he speaks to man. Okay, so now he changed his mind. He's talking privately. It makes it a little more credible. Not very credible. Hey, lo yaminu li still applies, because why should they believe it? Maybe yes, maybe no. So therefore, you see, what we have, gentlemen, is this eyewitness testimony. This document that says, you people witnessed it. And when I pass on the document that says, I witnessed these events to my dear son over here. What I am doing is testifying to him, and he relies on me as his father who would not dare to lie, and as the millions of fathers who would not dare to lie to their children, that they passed on this this testimony to their children. I want to tell you a little story. I want to tell you two stories. Once I had to go to, I was traveling to Edmonton, in Canada, had to go to the Canadian Rockies. I think it's called Jasper where we were. We did an outreach seminar there many years ago. I get on my plane at 7:30 in the morning in Toronto to fly to Edmonton. It was about a 4-hour flight. I'm sitting in my aisle seat at the back of the plane, and as soon as the plane took off, there was a man by the window, and there was this empty seat in between. And as soon as the plane took off, they bring me my kosher breakfast. And the guy at the window says to me, I feel so sorry for you. So I said, why do you feel sorry for me? I said, first of all, this breakfast is very good. They happen to have a good kosher breakfast there. And secondly, they're serving breakfast from the front of the plane. You're going to have to wait until they serve 150 people. We're in the last row. And I get my breakfast first. He says, no, that's not what I was talking about. I feel sorry for you that you're bound by those archaic laws of Moses. He says, we don't have that stuff. We just, if we believe in God, we believe in man, or love of God, love of man. He said something. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he says, and that's it. We don't got to do all that stuff. I wasn't interested in a conversation with this man. Certainly wasn't interested in trying to convert him. And I had brought along a lot of stuff to do on the plane. So I wanted to, you know, just end the conversation politely. So I said, let me ask you a question, sir. Do you believe in the Bible, the Old Testament, you know, that's our Tanakh. He says, absolutely. I think he even said it's the gospel truth, which is not true because the gospels are in the New Testament, but whatever, who cares? Anyway, so I said, you know, what does it say in the Bible about an individual who does miracles as a prophet? He actually performs amazing things. And then he says, let's leave the old religion and go to a new form. What happens to such a person? And he says to me, I said, do you know? And he says, yes. And he turned around to the window, and he looked out of the window for 4 hours straight. Didn't look me in the face. Didn't even take his breakfast when it finally got there cold. He knew the answer. The answer was, such a prophet is put to death. And the Torah says, how could this person have done miracles if in reality he's not legitimate? And the Torah answers, because Hashem sometimes tests us to see our loyalty. He told us we have to keep the Torah. And even if a prophet will arise and say otherwise, we still are loyal to our Torah, to our Taryak Mitzvahs, to our Maim and our Sinai, and we ignore such a prophet. So you see, this question is really something that, and I once had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with someone who had studied for the priesthood, many years, a brilliant, a genius of a man. He knew 17 languages fluently. And he found out when he was in his 30s he was really Jewish. And he became religious, and it was a whole story. But anyway, he told me there's no answer for this question. How the Torah says that God himself can't change his mind. If he sends a prophet, and the prophet does miracles, all it is a test. But the Torah that was given at Har Sinai will remain forever. So that's number one. So therefore, any religion who recognizes that there was a Maimon Har Sinai and accepts the Bible and yet claims a change, the Bible itself that they print, it's in their Bible, I checked it out once, says that can't be. There's no such thing. It can't be. Basically, the Torah says God can't change his mind. That's the one thing he can't do. He says he won't. He could. I don't know what he could. He won't. That's it. If a prophet comes and speaks in the name of Hashem, says to go against the Torah, put him to death. That's all there is to it. That's number one story I want to tell you. But then I want to leave you with one other little story. I was on a flight from Los Angeles to San Diego. It's about 15, 20-minute flight. I come on the flight, and there's an elderly couple sitting there, and they say to me, Shalom, and I say, Shalom. And then they make the following speech. We support Israel. Israel belongs to Jewish people. We know it because it says so in the Bible. That was the whole speech. And then I wondered, how is it that you have these two non-Jewish people, they were, you know, non-Jewish, and maybe a billion or more like them, that if it says in the Bible, then they know that Israel belongs to Jewish people. And we got some of our own people who don't seem to be so sure about anything. And then I realized, and I've said this before here, I'm sure, but you'll forgive me, I'll repeat it again. It's one of my favorite corruptions of a Medrash. The Medrash says that when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael before, he went to the nations of the world. He says, do you want to accept my Torah? So he says, what does it say? Can't steal. Sorry, we do that. Can't kill. Sorry, we do that. Can't commit adultery. Sorry, we do that. They weren't interested. Then he comes to the Jewish people. Do you want to accept my Torah? Now, we all know the true answer. They said, Nasa v'nishma. But let's see if we could corrupt the Medrash a little bit. Okay? He comes to the Jewish people and he says, you want to accept my Torah? And they ask the question, how much does it cost? That's a good Jewish question, right? And he says, it's for free. And you know what they said? We'll take two, if that's the case. You see, if it's for free, it's very easy. These people figured out a formula that they could accept the Torah very well. Anything the Torah says is true, because you don't have to do it. If you don't have to do it, it's very easy. But we know that it comes with responsibility and obligation. And sometimes, when a person is aware of the fact that there are obligations, then he begins to think illogically. He says, oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I'm too lazy. Oh, I'm too overwhelmed. Oh, I can't do that. That's too difficult. That's too much. That's too this. That's too much pressure. Ah, da, 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 da. And his mind begins to drift on the things that are so blatantly obvious to everyone in the world. The whole world knows that there was a Maimon Har Sinai. The whole world knows what we're going to read this parsha, this Shabbos, tomorrow, that Hashem appeared to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai and spoke directly to them. They heard him say, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoceisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Me'beis Avodim, Lo Yehi Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai. They heard him. They know. They saw what happened and the Kohelet Yisro broke him. It says, they saw the sounds. They saw. Who knows what happened? Most amazing, miraculous event. And they knew. And they recorded it and passed it down as eyewitness testimony in a document that said, we saw what happened in Mitzrayim. We saw Hashem speaking to us from the Shemayim. And it even says, we saw Hashem speak to Moshe Rabbeinu and appoint him as it. That's included in the what we saw. Because it says Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the earshot of the whole Klal Yisrael to know that he's the official spokesman, that he's the official teacher. The world knows that. It's just some of those people who realize that it comes with a price tag, that it's not for free, that there are obligations. Sometimes when we know there are obligations, we tune out. Because obligations are complicated. Obligations are burdensome. Obligations cost money or time or effort or something. So we have to be very aware. The whole world knows the secret, and we have to make sure that we know it too. We have to make sure that we don't allow the fact that we were privileged with a life of Torah and mitzvahs to be interpreted by us as an overwhelming burden, and therefore it allows us to convolute our thinking and to begin not to recognize things that are so obvious to everybody else. Anyway, that's my message, gentlemen. I think that, as society goes on and people begin to see the emptiness and the meaninglessness in life, more and more people are beginning to recognize that Baruch Hashem, that Hashem revealed himself at Har Sinai and told us the purpose for which we were created and gave us a life that could be meaningful. And gave us a sense of purpose in our lives and the opportunity to really be able to live a happy and fulfilled life, a life of meaning, a life that we don't have to feel, I'm just hanging around here until the time comes to go. And unfortunately, there are too many people today who are just hanging around until it's over. They're waiting for the end to come. And many of them will tell you it can't come soon enough because there's no point to the whole thing. Ashreinu matoiv chelkeinu, that it was revealed to us by the Creator Himself, the purpose for creation, the purpose for taking us out of Mitzrayim and taking us to Har Sinai and giving us the directives for life, which can change the whole quality of our life in this world and can privilege us to reward and benefit and happiness in this world and eternally.